Hello, and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 59.
This week on the podcast, Barbara Bush finally says what's been on America's mind for a long time. We've had enough Bushes.
More arrests in the Boston bombing plot lead Republicans to remember why they hate all immigrants.
Being a prisoner at Guantanamo Bay is the best diet plan ever. Find out why.
Even Rockefeller Republicans know that gays are good for business. Will the NBA realize the same thing?
In an effort to shore up the two-dimensional vote, Mark Sanford vigorously debates a cardboard cutout of Nancy Pelosi.
And will Ted Cruz be the first Canadian president of America? Not if it requires reading the Constitution.
Do you have one too many children? Is your gun arsenal missing a gun the size that a five-year-old could handle? Solve both problems at once with the cricket.
All this and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live.
Well, we finally came back.
Finally. Here
Found
we are.
Found our way.
Through travels, through birthdays, through all
it's
sorts
been
of...
a busy last couple weeks.
Very much so.
So yeah. Busy that we could not record a podcast for most of it.
And a lot of shit has to go down for us to not record a podcast.
It's so true. We've been very dedicated
we have.
To this cause. So if
it's a cause.
You know that stuff's amiss when
right.
when you haven't seen us appear on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Like we usually do. What wasn't amiss with us was any of the international disasters that are occurring
no.
at the moment. That was not...
We were debating how much to talk about Syria and ultimately decided
to
not
at do
all.
That. Yeah.
But we did want to
we
let
wanted
you
to...
know that we know that it's a thing.
Right. We wanted to encourage you to read your nearest newspaper if you're curious about what's going on in Syria. There are chemical weapons being used. Chaos.
Yeah.
Is abounding over there. And this may or may not mean something, but we aren't qualified to speculate on that. So
not even close.
Instead, we're going to skip straight through to all of the exciting celebrations that went on this week.
Yes.
We had the dedication of the Bush Library.
Yes.
We had the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Not
these
the,
were all things that
not
happened.
Not the Foreign Correspondents'
not the foreign,
Dinner.
I've been calling it the Foreign Correspondents' Dinner, and everyone has been calling it the Golden Globes as a response to that. But this is the dinner where White House correspondents force the president to, like, become a stand-up comedian for the mm-hmm. night, and then force some sort of stand-up comedian to also give a speech that proves that if someone's writing you stupid one-liners, you sound just as silly as the president. So,
exactly.
So that, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
For that.
It was Conan O'Brien.
It was Conan O'Brien.
It's a real bang-up job.
Did apparently. A real bang-up job of giving a speech full of one-liners that were all predictable and you could see coming from a mile away. Obama had some in-jokes with everyone about mm-hmm. how tough it's been for him.
Yep.
Did a little movie presentation with Steven Spielberg.
I think he said he wasn't the young Muslim socialist that he used to be
right.
or something like
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, that was a pretty funny line. He started off and we were like, but then we sort of got into the spirit of it and
sure.
felt better about everything after that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Bush Library dedication was hilarious. As I was telling Brent at dinner that it dominated, like, an entire news cycle.
It totally did.
And that I had been shocked that it stayed relevant for more than 15 minutes past
yeah.
when it ended.
Yeah.
But, like, they were carrying the speeches live on news
they
networks.
They were on all of them.
Yeah. And it
was
like, you would think that we had gone to war or something with the amount of coverage this got. And
yeah.
this, for the dedication... there was some entertainment value in it because all the presidents were forced to get
yeah.
up and speak
yeah.
about and say something nice about George Bush, which was a
hard.
Tall order. Yeah.
They were all, I'm sure they had to think long and hard.
They had to think long and hard. It's a good thing they're all professionals because I certainly could not have gone up there and done that.
Yeah.
And I'm as close to a professional as you can get
mm-hmm.
without being president. So, Jimmy Carter kept the remarks short and sweet and said that he had given Bush some advice about some foreign policy issue.
Well, he's also old.
And he's old. And he also is very friendly, so he probably doesn't say mean things about people, I would imagine.
I don't know. He might. Who knows?
No, he's just like a kindly peanut farmer.
That he is.
That's literally
yeah.
that's what he is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But Bill Clinton and Barack Obama gave sort of like tepidly fine speeches.
As you would expect.
Apparently the library includes like a wing where it's like a choose your own adventure game.
Yeah.
It's like
mm-hmm.
a wing where you like... decide what you would have done if you were in Bush's shoes.
Right, which is completely ridiculous. I was there. Bill Maher was making fun of this on Friday night because, like, all of the choices basically are like, what would you have done? And it's like, invade Iraq or not invade Iraq and let the world end, basically.
Right.
Like, there are all these sort of, like, these, they're, like, these really sort of, like, false choices, basically, that, like, were not actually sort of the choices.
Yeah. The choices are...
They weren't the choices.
The path that we followed or the world ending. And if you play the game well and care about America, then you'll choose what the Bush administration chose. Because that's... If the Bush Library is there to teach us anything, it's that truthiness trumps truth every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, his administration sort of taught us that as well.
Yeah,
So it's not shocking that at least he's consistent. The library is going with sort of what his administration stood for.
Yeah, it created a lot of great late night jokes because, I mean, the idea of a library.
There were a lot of libraries in Texas jokes. There were a lot of Bush being able to read jokes. I mean, they wrote themselves.
That picture of him that had been photoshopped to make it look like he was reading that book upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Made a reappearance on the internet this last couple weeks. So
my favorite moment was because they were obviously all sort of talking to all of the Bushes and were making a big deal out of it. And they were being interviewed on the Today Show, I believe it was. And they asked Barbara Bush about Jeb's potential 2016 presidential run. And she said, "We've had enough Bushes."
She, like all of America, knows... Well, I said to Brent also at dinner, this has been one of the most underachieving dynasties in the history of the world.
Right.
We had a one-term president who's barely remembered for doing anything other than spawning the, like, most evil president of the last, like, 20 years at least. I mean, more than 20 years.
Yeah.
He's really been the most incompetent president in memory.
Yeah.
In recent memory, at least. Mm-hmm. He's no Nixon, but
no.
After Nixon, who are you going to go with? You know?
That's true.
Reagan raised taxes, at least. Well, I guess Bush raised taxes too. In any case, we're still on the trail of the Boston bombing suspects, even though we found both of them. Because now we're looking for accomplices.
Yes, which we found some of.
We found some accomplices.
We arrested three of them just this week.
Well, it turns out that after this whole situation went down, a bunch of people came in and, like, cleaned out
his
dorm room.
Yeah.
The guy whose name I can't say. There's Tamerlan, and then there's the other guy.
Joe Carr or something.
Yeah. No one can say his name, so unfortunately it's very hard to report news about him. But what we do know is that he was friendlier than his brother and seemed to have some, you know, loyal gang members.
Or friends.
Loyal
yes.
friends
mm-hmm. yes.
slash, you know, nerd party members who...
Stoners.
Probably. Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who went into his dorm room and cleaned stuff up. So... They've been arrested, no one's really sure what they're being charged with or where, you know, why they're being held or for how long they'll be held.
But we also got reports that the older brother's wife had talked to him after they showed his picture as one of the potential
suspects.
We don't really exactly know what that means,
were looking for, like, a location that they could have built the bombs, and they found, like, explosive residue, like, on her or something.
Oh, yeah, I think there was, like... Well, and there was also, didn't they decide that there was, like, female DNA, like, on some of them? So I think they're trying to figure out.
How do they figure that shit out? Holy moly. Can you not,
we don't watch enough terrible
CSI programs.
We don't, but
I have a new thing where even though they finally got rid of those X-ray machines at the airport where you have to put they still have the machines where you have to put your hand up and act
like
a criminal.
Like I just went through
but they changed the type of waves that they use. They use radio waves instead of X-ray waves or something.
Okay.
Anyway. Since they instituted those, I've started a policy of just refusing to go through them and requesting a pat-down. Because I finally realized that it makes them a lot more uncomfortable than it makes you.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows what you're up to. They're like, oh, she's getting a pat-down. All right.
Uh-huh.
But the people don't like patting you. They don't want to have to touch strangers.
No.
So it's not really like a big, you know, I'm always at the airport early because I'm obsessively early.
I know.
So it's not like a big deal for me to, like, get there early enough to wait for the pat-down.
I like to time, like, just walking through the door as they're, like, closing it down for no more passengers.
Yeah, that's the Brent Thornburg method of flying. I need to get there early so that I can mentally prepare for having to be on an airplane.
I know.
So I have the time. But this time, on my way, I was in Seattle over the weekend, and on my way back from Seattle, they pat you down, and then they take, like, the residue from their hand and put it in, like, a explosive detector machine, and it came up positive.
What?
Yeah. And so then they had to pat me down again and do the whole thing again, and I'm not sure why. I was like... What
was it?
We don't know. I was like, what could it have been? Give me some ideas about what I could have had, because obviously I wasn't building explosives. Here's a secret. to the pat-down line. It's all women who fit the same profile. It's all white, middle-class, educated women who are younger.
Yeah.
It's everyone in the line is in my, it fits my exact profile.
But so, I'm wondering what creates a false positive.
They gave me a list of things that was insane. It was like contact solution and like you could like literally anything that you touch during the day could be setting off the bomb detector at the airport. So it leads me to believe that they don't have any idea what they're looking for or doing over there. Because holy moly. I mean, where would I have even been? They were like, were you on a farm? And I was like, in Seattle? Was I, what, like an urban farm? Like what kind of, I was at a park? I took a walk next to the river or to the water. I didn't know that qualified.
So weird. But
in any case, it was very dramatic. So it turns out that you can have explosive residue on you at any time for any reason, and it means nothing. We all currently have explosive residue on us right now. Brent and I were just in a city street, so we definitely have explosive residue on us.
For sure.
Yeah. And probably with this house that's about to fall down, we're just having it rained on us right now.
Oh, I know.
So there's no winning.
We both had some house falling down issues this week.
Yeah. Well, my house is just permanently falling down. Brent's house
is
newly falling down.
The plumbing is going out, and like, there's the power was out this week, and that's the second time we've had power problems.
They had
problems.
Raccoon attack issue recently that was very scary.
It's terrifying.
And raccoons?
That was in the house, by the way,
people.
That was
inside the house. Raccoons are large animals. That's like inviting a person into your house, but also not inviting them and having them be an animal with a tail and funny eyes. The little raccoon eyes. They're sneaky.
Creepy.
Yeah. In any case. So back to the Boston bombings. The Boston bombings are also giving Republicans a chance to sort of semi-revive their already defunct immigration plans.
Right.
Because they were going to fix immigration. But then everyone started hating Marco Rubio because he suggested that we should fix some of the immigration issues. And he was trying to talk up a law that was going to make it harder for people to get a green card, basically.
Right.
And somehow everyone turned on him. And
that's how he was trying to sell it to Republicans.
Right.
But they're not having any of it.
They're not having any of it because it still allows people to get green cards, which is, I guess, they're against.
Yeah.
So John McCain had a brilliant idea, and I think Chuck Grassley was in on this as well. They decided that we could just use the Boston bombings as a good excuse to further restrict immigration by making it harder for people from Muslim countries or countries that have, like, Islamic sort of, like, terrorist movements going on to come to the U.S.
Yeah.
So basically now if you're stuck in a shitty country where everyone's at war for no reason and people are setting off car bombs in the street, you can't even leave because we're not going to let you in anymore.
Yeah.
That's a disaster.
It is.
It's mean. It's me. If there's any group of people that need to leave the country that they're in immediately, it's people that are in danger of dying in a terrorist attack all the time.
Yeah,
if we're gonna say that Muslim countries are more likely to have problems with terrorism, then we should also, by extension, be willing to let people from those countries come to the U.S. to protect themselves from said terrorism.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it's terrifying. In any case, John McCain's decided we're going to just start monitoring everyone like crazy, and we're going to try to strengthen the GOP immigration bill so that it can make it impossible to immigrate here, I guess.
I mean, it's just so, you know, obviously everybody wants to try and figure out how we can keep things like this from happening. And I get that that is the response that you want to have. It's the reasonable response to have, is to want to try and figure it out. But unfortunately, not letting anyone else in the country from anywhere is just not a great solution.
Well,
you know, there's a lot of talk about, like, oh, well, the FBI had their eyes on him and this and that.
Really.
How do they? They didn't really.
The FBI has their eyes on everyone
bit. I mean, do you just go around and start locking up anyone who you think is maybe potentially, like, a little off? Or
let,
like,
me tell you who we should be locking up then is all men in their early 20s. They're dangerous.
Right. They're going to shoot you.
They're going to shoot you. They're going to bomb you. They're going to do something that's terrible. Yeah. That's if we're going to profile by any criteria, that's the criteria that could save us. But I mean, suddenly turning this into first of all, they're trying to sort of like conflate the issues with Chechnya to like our problems in the Middle East, which are totally unrelated.
Yeah.
Like Chechnya that's a Russian issue. That's like a domestic problem in Russia.
Yes.
There are terrorism issues in Russia because of the way that they treated Chechnya.
Yeah.
okay. I grant that that's not a great situation. No. And certainly someone coming out of that situation is probably more likely to be influenced by extremist propaganda because they are the kind of people who need something extreme to happen for right. something, you know, shit's shitty when, when everything's, when, you know, when you everything's falling apart.
right.
But I don't, first of all, John McCain somehow also turned this into like a thing about how we're going to have greater border security, which, and by which he meant that we were going to somehow like what, protect the U.S. from Mexicans as a way of like avoiding, you know, as a way of avoiding terrorism. Like when he talks about the border, because he's from Arizona, he's talking about a different set of issues and he sort of like conflated the two in this speech. And it got very confusing because he was talking about like a lot of the proposals that Republicans make that are essentially like, we'll just build a wall and keep everyone out, or we'll just make it impossible for people to cross the border. When what we have here is some kids who are on student visas who fucked some shit up.
Yeah. Well, and the thing
that
is, so
kids on from coming on student visas.
The thing that just strikes me as hilarious about this whole situation is that now the Republicans are trying to find ways out of having to pass this immigration bill.
When,
lest we forget, they were trying to get an immigration bill passed.
Yeah, that was their
MO. This was their idea, because the reason that they wanted to get this passed in the first place is because this is their response to losing terribly in national elections.
They've already forgotten.
They've already forgot. They went through this whole thing where they spent millions of dollars to try and to come up with their report as to what happened after November.
Because they have,
and it's just sort of like, now they're already trying to find a way to backtrack out of this using these Boston bombings, which don't have anything to do with it. And then here you are.
They're going to fix it with Ted Cruz. They have the White Knight will be riding in from Canada. We'll get to that later.
Uh-huh.
But they... they don't think they're that off track because, well, first of all, with Marco Rubio, it made it clear how quickly you can fall out of favor with the Republican Party.
Oh my gosh, I know. Everybody hates him already.
He was somebody who was only really accepted by them because he was like a great token for them.
And
he was crazy and a token, and so that somehow that made him like much more famous than just any other sort of like young congressman.
Right.
But they turned on him really fast because suddenly he wasn't looking like racist enough for them. Like, was the problem? Nobody knows. So the same thing is going to keep coming up for them because they don't actually want to embrace diversity.
No.
So however they try to go after minority voters, they're going to end up shooting themselves in the foot because...
And you and I predicted that this was not
wouldn't work
passed.
Out. And we continue to predict that.
Yeah,
because of
I
our
mean,
knowing
it's not
stats.
Entirely dead yet, but I mean it's
not entirely dead, but like they've just they sort of it's like this weird like you know they like beat this dead horse every once in a while when something comes up where they're like, aha, I know what we'll do, we'll try terrorism to the immigration bill now because now there's a terrorist like an act of domestic terrorism, because essentially this was domestic terrorism
basically,
whether or not it was sort of like broadly influenced by an international
terrorist
group, but they're sort of like trying to figure out how we can stop domestic terrorism by getting rid of immigration.
By closing the borders.
Yeah, which is like doesn't work that way. Plus, we're like an entire country full of terrorists because we're all gun-toting wackos. So like, it's not gonna not solving problems that way.
Yeah,
We did solve one problem though.
Oh,
this last
everybody
week.
Came together. Once,
came together as Americans.
Exactly. Once the FAA.
Was
put their air traffic controllers on furlough like they said they were going to do with the sequester.
Yeah.
It was not but 24 hours
They didn't
later.
Actually have to physically put anyone on furlough because they acted on it so fast that the FAA was like, well, I guess we can just keep operating as usual because...
Right. Meanwhile...
people have places to go.
That's the only thing that they've fixed.
Until,
you know, cancer patients are not able to get treatment right now, but you can be assured that you're not going to have to wait at all at the airport.
Thank God... businessmen will not have their trips delayed.
This is such bullshit.
Well, and they were talking about how, like, you know, just, last month, basically, everyone was like, we're not going to solve this by doing some piecemeal strategy where we just fix problems as they come up. Like, we need to pass a bill that, like, fixes what happened with the sequester and where we really think about how we can, like, fix these budget problems in a sort of long-term way. And they're just sort of like... going ahead and doing it in a piecemeal, stupid strategy anyway, because the only thing that they can get Republicans to agree to are things that their own constituents are annoyed about.
Exactly.
And the FAA furloughs are the kind of thing that all Americans agree that, like, all Americans agree,
and rich people.
Rich people, but, like, Americans agree that we need air traffic controllers.
Yes.
So
yes, that's true.
If there's one thing we learned from Reagan, it's that we need air traffic controllers. So Americans are sort of like willing to come together and pay for air traffic controllers, even if they're against paying for things, because they need to, they want to get places.
Yeah.
And rich people especially want to get places. It's when we talk about things that don't affect Americans with lots of money.
Right. Like Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels. Or just at, like, food stamps. Like any sort of like social program that affects where you need to have like a just a modicum of like empathy to understand why it's important.
You can't get it.
Can't get that. But
no.
But my flights were right on time to and from Seattle. Thank God. Could have been a disaster if I had been a little bit late.
I wish that, I mean, it's, I suppose to a certain degree that it's great that they're sort of did
that
fix
they passed
this,
something.
That they're, I was going to say that they were able to come together in a bipartisan way, but I want some of these things to really like, as terrible as this sounds, like I would have preferred that everyone, that air traffic just like turned to like a real freaking shit show, because I just feel like we as Americans sort of like have to hit rock bottom before we decide. Like
I want
some of these cuts to like literally be felt in like a serious way by average people. And I know that sounds like a terrible thing to say, but I think like that's what will ultimately get it fixed.
I don't agree. Because this is like a line of reasoning that progressives love to use. It's like when I was talking about healthcare reform with my mom before Obamacare was passed, she was like, well, maybe we just need to screw everything up. Maybe if they, or, you know, when the Supreme Court was thinking about overturning Obamacare, maybe they'll overturn it and then we'll finally get a single payer plan. And I was like, we won't. We'll get something worse than what we have even in that crappy Affordable Care Act, you know, plan.
Yeah.
Like, what we will get will be only a step up from rock bottom as opposed to a rethinking of the whole situation.
Yeah.
Because we never rethink anything. The last time that we rethought something broadly and it worked out was like the New Deal. You know? Like, we rethought social welfare at that time, and that worked out great for everyone, but all we've done since then is chip away slowly at these things. We've had, like, rock-bottom moments since then. We've had several major financial disasters.
Yeah.
Are we regulating the financial industry any better?
You're right.
No. Like, we've
had... giving them money.
We're just giving them money. Like, we've had... We've been for years having issues with, you know, healthcare costs being the leading cause of bankruptcy in the nation, with, you know, millions of Americans being uninsured, all of these things. Have we, like, really fixed any of those problems in a meaningful way?
True.
We haven't done any of that. We don't do shit. We're lazy. We're lazy and we're mean. So, I sort of hope that they just hang on to whatever they can hang on to.
Right.
Just sort of keep on trucking as best they can.
All right, fair enough.
We're never going to get better. We only get worse here.
It's a really fucking grim outlook, by the way.
Well, no. It's as opposed to the sort of like... there's like the progressive ideology that states that like people will get on board when shit hits the, you know, hits rock bottom. Because that's what they did during the Great Depression. That's how we got
all
of those programs.
Yeah.
And then there's the mentality that's like... this is a different economy and a different sort of, like, cultural moment.
Yeah.
And it's a moment that really, like, glorifies greed in a way that is sort of unprecedented because of the the disparity between what the richest Americans have and what the poorest Americans have is so profound.
Yeah.
That, like, there's not really a way for us all to come together and even have enough of the pie to make a change at this point.
Yeah.
You know? So... it needs to even out a little bit more before we can sort of broadly agree. Because the reason that during the Great Depression everyone could agree to everything was because no one had anything.
That's true.
There were like three guys, but everyone was on equal footing and having nothing.
Yep.
And then there were these people that had everything.
Yep.
Now we have like people who have everything, people who have a little more, and people who have nothing.
Right, it's
and
true.
The people who have a little more still think that they're going to be one of the rich people someday, so they don't want to go along.
That's what Republicans are telling.
Because that's what Republicans do. We have... some issues with racism that are slightly more overt in certain ways because we have a much more diverse sort of like government now. And, you know, I mean, I've never, like, the last few years have been weird because it's allowed some like very overt racism to surface that I thought we were kind of done with.
Yeah.
But I think that that's part of why like poor white Americans and poor black Americans are not coming together on a lot of issues because this is, you know, we have the sort of Reagan era moral moral majority kind of nonsense still in our system.
Yeah.
So we don't have, like, a good coalition from which to build, like, something good or new. So we just have shit happening all the time. It's just getting shittier every second. Every moment. More shit falls apart.
God, seriously.
Disaster.
Yeah.
And no story that we bring you tonight is going to disprove that.
No, certainly not this next one.
Not this next one.
Because Guantanamo Bay is, well, still open.
Which still
is
open.
Bad, which is
already
bad
a problem.
Enough. Anyway, but now there's a giant hunger strike.
Huge hunger
going
strike
there.
Going on.
Over 100 people. It's been going on since February.
Yeah.
And they're being force fed.
Yeah.
Basically, because if they don't eat, then they get put on a IV. Basically.
Right.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
It's a total disaster.
Well, and did you, this issue has really resurfaced with a vengeance, I think partially because the New York Times published an op-ed by a prisoner at Guantanamo in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And suddenly everyone was like, holy shit.
What?
Like, it was some guy who's just like some guy. Everyone agrees he's no threat. But, like, for some reason, he's just not being tried, so he can't go home because he's just not being tried for anything. So it's sort of, like, put everything in perspective in the way that I felt like, like, there's been some good essays like this recently. Like, the internet kind of came alive with the there was an essay by someone who's been in solitary confinement for 25 years.
Yes.
Who wrote something for the Harvard Law Review.
Yes.
That was a big deal on the internet.
Yeah.
This was, like, a similar sort of thing where, like, this guy was sort of writing about his experience and, like, how, not only how horrible it is, obviously it's horrible to be held in prison, but, like, just, like, how the sort of, like, very essence of what, like, America is about and what kind of rights we enjoy here is being just, like, trampled
totally disregarded.
On there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how most of the people there, we have no idea why they're there.
Yeah.
We can't let them go because we've never asked who they are. We don't, or even if we have information about who they are, we don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sort of, like, a crazy situation, but
it has been, at least in the, I mean, maybe this will help because, I mean, they did.
It's gotten some real press.
Obama has been being asked about it and said that he's going to retry and get it closed again because he really did actually try at the beginning of his first term. That
it
was,
just,
I mean, that was one of the things that he ran on actually was to get that closed.
Yeah.
And he sort of,
and he
did
wasn't able
work
to.
On it sort of pretty publicly, but it just
didn't happen.
I don't know.
Well, and the hunger strike started because they claim that the guards were improperly handling Qurans while they were doing searches. So it's sort of like, it's like gotten real tense over there.
Yeah.
But this is what happens when you keep political prisoners. They start going on hunger strikes. That's why you don't do it. It's a pain in the ass to deal with people who are on hunger strikes.
Right.
If Gandhi taught us anything, it's that hunger strikes, whether or not you sort of broadly claim they win the war, they often win the battle because it's really horrifying to think about people who are just, like, wasting away for no reason.
Yeah.
So,
it is indeed.
Annoyed that we're still having to talk about Gitmo, but here we are talking about, we've never talked about Gitmo because it wasn't in the news last year.
No.
We had a presidential race to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we got to talk about Gitmo again. It's a disaster.
And gay things.
And gay things.
We've been talking about gay
things.
All
we talk about.
All we talk about. I know.
Coming to you from West Hollywood.
I know.
If you didn't know.
Jason Collins.
NBA
player. Played for the Washington Wizards and I think the Celtics this year. He's played for like every team twice.
Yes. Brent tells me he was the first athlete from the four major U.S. sports leagues and I had to ask him what those are.
Right. And they are basketball, football, hockey.
You're missing.
And baseball.
You're missing American halftime.
Well, it's the one that I like the least.
Yeah. That's the one I like the most.
It's the most boring.
Yeah, you can eat Dippin' Dots while you're watching it and you don't miss anything.
Yeah, but that's okay. Anyway.
Gotten a lot of.
A
lot of phone calls.
Huge deal this week.
Yeah.
He came out.
Matthew Shepard's parents all over the news.
Right. Well, he was wearing. So a couple years ago, he started wearing number 98, and he claimed that at that time he was sort of debating whether he was going to come out, but 98 was sort of like that was the year that Matthew Shepard died, and so that was sort of like it was a tribute to Matthew Shepard. So but it was, of course, you know, met with, you know, death threats, but it was also met with, you know, the president called him, Clinton called him, and there were most of the other athletes were supportive. Kobe Bryant was supportive.
I think that this was actually an interesting example of how far we've come in how short of a time, because, like, obviously anytime you come out with anything controversial, like, some wackos are, like, over there making noise, but it wasn't like the way this was covered was very different from the way this would have been covered 10 years ago.
Oh, it was,
like,
absolutely.
The president wouldn't have called him 10 years ago, like,
to congratulate
his fellow
him.
Players. I mean, we had issues with the Super Bowl, like, last year or something with homophobic comments getting made by sports players. Like, this is, like, sort of, overall, this was a very positive sort of, aside from your crazy aunt's Facebook page, which we'll get to in a sec, but overall, there was a very positive reaction to this. It was sort of, it was almost sort of like people were like, all right.
I know. So it'll be interesting to see because, you know, there was a story a month or so ago that, like, the NFL was sort of kind of, like, readying their player organization for, like, three or four people to be coming out because they felt like that there would be sort of a little strength in numbers as just one person wasn't doing it. And so I think Jason Collins just sort of did it all on his own just because he felt like he wanted to, I guess. But it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, I don't think there's going to be, like, 100 people coming out, like, anytime soon. But it seems like...
But maybe this will be sort of like the beginning of a slow burn on the
coming
out.
Hello. I mean, they're there.
It's like how I always felt about the military. Like, why are you going to hang out with just like a ton of men all the time? Like, of course gay people are going to do that too. Like, that's the perfect place to be gay.
Yeah.
You're just hanging out with the guys all the time. It's like the military.
Yeah. But this was a segment that we used to bring you every once in a while during the election because she was always posting crazy things. But I have an aunt that likes to take to, she posts a lot of things from the Blaze. I saw something that like Cablevision, bought, is going to start carrying like the Blaze network.
What?
Yeah. So like, I think that you can watch the Blaze like in New York and places.
In New York?
Yeah, I know, of all places. Like, the place that would not want to watch it all. But anyway, so she's always posting things like that. But this was just her own musings, if you will, basically. But she said, does anyone know who Jason Collins is? Let me fill you in. He is a washed-up NBA player that has decided he is a homosexual. Who gives a flip? Not me. We, our country, has much more to care about. Obamacare, no jobs, deficit till hell won't have it. I don't know what that means. Syria trying to pull chemical weapons on the world. Ooh. Oh, not just their own people.
She's really gotten, this problem's gotten much more dramatic in her head.
And I could go on and on. We won't mention Dr. Gosnell, whom is killing babies that could live, throw them in the trash can. Lord have mercy on us.
Oh, there was that doctor who was charged for throwing away people's babies or something.
It's I don't know.
It's just the kind of horror story that pro-life people tell people so that everyone will think that abortions are evil. But this was a doctor who was delivering live babies and then throwing them away. So even pro-life people are subject to that kind of threat. In any case.
It's so true.
Well, she's got a lot of concerns.
Tons.
It's a good thing she doesn't care about Jason Collins because she's got a lot on her mind already.
If that was added to the list, then her head might explode.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Oh, she's
bless her heart. She wished me a happy birthday this week.
Well, that's kind of her.
It was.
She is your aunt, so it's a nice thing to do in your family.
Yeah, exactly.
I wished my aunt a happy birthday today.
Oh,
so
lovely.
Yeah, birthdays all around. More gay news. Rhode Island is passing a
state.
Yeah, is going to legalize gay marriage. Lincoln Chafee, who was, you may remember, the senator for a long time from
Rhode
Island.
Senator.
The Republican senator. He's now an independent. He's the one who's going to sign it into law. He recently became governor of Rhode Island.
He is going to sign it.
Yeah, he's going to sign it. He was hilarious all over the news talking about how much, about how he's a Rockefeller Republican. You never hear people say Rockefeller Republicans anymore.
No
one would ever admit to being a Republican if they were a Rockefeller Republican. Because at this point, if you're a Rockefeller Republican, you're a moderate Democrat.
I was going to say, yeah.
Like, Obama is also a Rockefeller Republican, so he has good company. But he obviously misses his people.
I know.
Because all
sad?
Of his other Rockefeller Republicans left, and
he's
no one
the
uses
world.
The word anymore. He's alone in the world. He's had to leave the party because, as he explained it, Rockefeller Republicans are socially progressive and just economically conservative.
Yep.
But Lincoln Chafee also is, like, the waspiest looking person, and his name is Lincoln Chafee, so there's a lot...
I know.
To recommend his waspiness. But but Rhode Island is... And he basically was like, you know, I don't want... Like, this is something that, like, young people want. This is something that the type of people who come and, like, reinvigorate your economy want. So, like, why would we pass up the opportunity to get those young people, all of whom think that gay marriage should be legal without a question, like, to come to our state and open companies? Because that's... what states need, especially states like Rhode Island that only have like 7 people in them. exactly. And you can drive through in like 3 hours.
I know. Is there, if all the gays start moving there, are they going to be able to house them all in Rhode Island?
No. No, it's lucky that it's so close to New York and Vermont and other states.
That's true.
Because
In Massachusetts.
They have a whole sort of community going there.
Got
so
it.
Gays will be able to circulate freely through the sort of mid-Atlantic and New England area. So, fortunately for Rhode Island, which could have seen a population boom, the likes of which would have been very dangerous for them.
I know. They would have been first. It would have been a real disaster.
Thank God. I mean, I always wondered, like, what was going to happen to Iowa.
I know.
Because it's, like, the first state in that region to have legalized gay marriage. And I was sort of like, well, at least in the Midwest, they have room for everyone.
Once
these little New England states started doing it, I was like, some bigger states have to get on board. Like, New York State had to get on board because they don't have room for everyone in Vermont.
No.
You know? They don't even have room for themselves in Vermont.
There's a lot of places in Iowa where there's no people.
Yeah, there's places that gays could start their own homegrown communities of whatever because there's room for them. There's room for whatever you want to do there. There's room for you to start a cult if you want to. I've learned that there's quite a cult community in Iowa. There's room for you to have a farm if you feel like it. You can grow corn or have pigs
or whatever. The world's your oyster.
The world's your oyster.
In Iowa.
Probably not great skiing, but, you know.
Cross country
skiing, which is...
You could be doing some cross country skiing right now, actually. We'll guess that later.
Yeah, seriously. In any case, good work, Rhode Island.
Yes. Oh, God. Mark Sanford. I mean, every time that we talk about Mark Sanford, it's amazing.
It's a joy.
I mean, it's so good. But for whatever reason, God knows.
And we literally cannot speculate as to what that reason is.
No, we wouldn't. To get into his head would just be a dangerous proposition.
Yeah.
But he decided to debate a cardboard cutout of Nancy Pelosi.
And debate is a strong word, since you can't debate a cardboard cutout much as talk at it.
Exactly. And that's what he did.
That's what he did.
Well, but then he answered for it as well.
Yes.
Himself. He was doing this on a sidewalk someplace.
It
was just sort of, I mean, he looked like he was just at any old random spot. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was like in
was
front of a fence
picture.
On the sidewalk.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah, no, that's where he was. Yeah. And, but he said that it was because, what's her name?
Elizabeth Colbert Bush.
Yeah. Wouldn't debate him or something, but they just had a debate last week. But
debating Nancy Pelosi is not the same as debating your actual contender in the race.
Did he not find a picture of her or something?
Right?
Or what?
I could have found a picture for him of her.
Maybe it wasn't cutout size.
Maybe it wasn't HD enough.
High enough resolution.
Yeah. That's probably the problem.
That's probably what it was.
But he said, my opponent continues to run a stealth campaign, avoiding public appearances and refusing to commit to televised forums for the benefit of First District voters. She's not exactly, like, hiding out. It's not a stealth campaign.
I don't think so.
She's been on the freaking Colbert Report in the news, like, she hasn't personally, but it's been reported on the Colbert Report constantly. So, if nothing else, she's getting national television attention. He's only getting national news attention because
he's doing
debating
crazy
cardboard cutouts.
Right, and creeping around his ex-wife's apartment.
Right.
I mean,
with a cell phone flashlight, trying to watch the Super Bowl.
And he's also getting a national, he's getting big time endorsements.
Yes.
Also, Larry Flint.
One of his great causes, as you can imagine, is sex.
Yes.
And so Larry Flint thought that he would endorse Mark Sanford because he's done a lot for the cause of sex.
Yeah, he said
he's had sex with people he wasn't supposed to have sex with, people he was supposed to have sex with.
Yeah.
He's having lots of sex.
Yeah, he said Mark Sanford has demonstrated by his words and deeds that that traditional values are shameful and that he will not live by such rules. His open embrace of his mistress in the name of love, breaking his sacred marriage vows, was an act of bravery that has drawn my support.
I'm looking forward to personally congratulating America's great sex pioneer. That's it. Mark Sanford, sex pioneer.
So good.
Every time Larry Flint enters any sort of
political fray,
it's always a good
what
thing.
You want.
Mm-hmm. People who I wish were not entering political frays are Ted Cruz. We mentioned earlier that he's sort of like the great hope of the Republican Party. I mean, they have a new great hope like every 5 minutes. So like,
because they always fizzle.
They're literally fizzling at every second moment, at every turn. We've discussed this before, but Ted Cruz is an interesting choice for a potential presidential contender.
Mainly because
the man was born in Canada.
Yeah.
There's more to that story, though. See, his people are trying to convince us that that he's, like, somehow basically a natural-born citizen because his mother was American.
But...
And then, you know, and he was born so close by that it's almost like he was born in America. Yes. Here's the story. A, his father was tortured and put in prison by Batista, who was the dictator in Cuba before Fidel Castro's army came in. He fought for Castro's army until, supposedly, according to Cruz, until he found out he was a communist. Well, Castro didn't find out he was a communist until the U.S. turned him away. So that was long after, Castro was already an enemy before he was a communist. So that doesn't solve the problem.
No.
But in any case, the other part of this story that's interesting is that, and this we did say before, Ted Cruz only became a citizen in 2005, according to his Wikipedia page. Which, why wouldn't they have all the facts? It's Wikipedia. They have all the facts. In any case, his advisors think that he could win a legal battle over his eligibility to be president. As you know, that's the only office in the U.S. where you have to have been born in the United States.
Yes.
And I sort of feel like, there are exceptions I would be willing to consider. We have a friend who was adopted from another country, but as a baby. Like, I don't see why she shouldn't be able to be president.
Agreed.
I think if you are born, say your parents work for the State Department and you're born in London.
Yeah, I think that counts.
That counts,
doesn't it? I think that counts.
There are extenuating circumstances that a person could conceivably argue are legitimate grounds.
But just having an American citizen mother being born in Canada, that's not it.
You're Canadian. Be the president of Canada.
Which he could never be. He could never be the president of here either. So this speculation is sort of
crazy.
Bonkers. Exactly.
But they needed to do something when they tossed Marco Rubio out of the limelight. So they had to find another person.
Yeah.
But I think that what everyone is sort of missing and what will be underplayed but is ultimately going to be his downfall is not that maybe people wouldn't, Tea Partiers at least, wouldn't be swayed by the idea that their person could be president, even if everyone in the same, if someone in the same circumstance couldn't be. Because Mitt Romney's father tried to run for president, and he wasn't born here either. People are doing it in the Republican Party all the time.
Sure.
But it's the fact that he didn't become a citizen until 2005.
Yeah,
that's only
crazy.
7 years ago or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That's, I had already graduated from high school at that point. And I'm younger than him.
I graduated college from that point.
He was an adult.
He was very much an adult.
He was an old adult.
He'd already gone to Harvard.
Yeah, he'd already gone to Harvard.
And sussed out how many communists were there while he was there.
Exactly. Exactly.
12, I think, was
10 or 12. Yeah, it was
10 or 12.
10 or 12. It was close to that.
It was a number.
His criteria was unclear, but it was a very specific number of communists.
Yeah.
He was the only one that could name them, unfortunately.
Well, he couldn't, actually.
He was the only one that had the number. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In any case, this is interesting to watch only because he's been sort of like on this surge of media attention recently, and he's legitimately got some sort of like exploration going on into whether he could run for president.
Mm-hmm.
And he will definitely fizzle before that ever happens.
Oh, for sure.
If we've learned anything from the Republican Party, and somebody awful who can't be elected will take his place, a new Mitt Romney.
Yep.
But it's sort of hilarious that he's
someone more palatable, but no more electable.
Correct. Well, the other thing is, I know that Republicans will oftentimes be huge hypocrites and think that they can get elected when they don't meet the criteria, even if no one else can. But we just spent years with this crazy birther wing of the Republican Party trying to convince us that our own president, who was born in the U.S., was not born in the U.S.
Right.
Yeah. So we have actual proof. He's admitted that he was born in Canada. We know that for a fact.
Yeah.
We don't even need to dig into it.
We don't need his birth certificate.
No.
We don't need his college transcripts. We don't need anything.
We don't need anything. We already know. So in that case, I feel like he's maybe shit out of luck. I don't know. Meanwhile, South Carolina.
Oh, back to South Carolina.
Back to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Up to no good.
Oh, gosh. This is insane. There have been a lot of states, trying to do things similar to this. Basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make Obamacare a crime. This is similar to... There were some states recently that were trying to make...
Trying to make gun control laws
illegal. You couldn't pass the gun. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But,
it's crazy. It's not going to pass.
No, of course. But it's just so...
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious to be we're going to pass this law that this other law is
that is already
illegal.
Has been passed by a higher
right.
level
and
of government.
And confirmed by the Supreme Court right. that it's constitutional. That it's,
exactly.
It's just like, what?
We're going to make it so that some of our state's elected representatives no longer represent the state because we have, like, disregarded their work.
Yeah.
In an effort to do our own.
Right.
So, in any case, South Carolina, it's a great bill name, South Carolina Freedom of Healthcare Protection Act.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, those words don't mean anything together. Freedom no. of Healthcare Protection? What are, what?
They're protecting you from having healthcare.
Yeah.
they don't want you to have it. They're going to protect
It's been passed by their House already. It was passed 65-39, which is a large majority.
It's a landslide.
That's crazy. But it basically prohibits them from enforcing the Affordable Care Act statutes. And it establishes, like, criminal penalties
right.
for violating, you know, the law
the
that
thing
you can't
is that you just
pass the law.
You can't do this.
No.
I mean, it's like, they could pass it, dear old Nikki Haley could sign it.
Well, and she
it doesn't
has not
matter.
Commented on what she thinks about this. She has pledged not to accept the Affordable Care Act, but she
right.
has not said that she would pass this law, because she probably has a brain. No, she does not have a brain. She probably has an advisor who's told her not to say anything about it.
Yeah.
But in any case, they also, rather stupidly, I think, say as part of the law that any taxpayer that has to pay the penalty on not getting health insurance could deduct that from their state taxes. So basically, they're just, like, giving the federal government money for unknown reasons, because basically that just means that the state paid for the penalty. Because the penalty still gets paid.
Yeah, that's
the state
true.
Loses money over it. The person doesn't lose any money.
So dumb.
That's a transaction in which the state gives money to the federal government for not doing anything.
Right.
So
where they could be getting money from the federal government for Obamacare.
Yeah.
Right.
So in any case,
not really thinking over there.
There's not a lot of financial logic to this approach.
No.
But I say let them go for it.
Yeah.
Why not? Back to guns, because
some gun news.
We have a lot of gun news. There's going to be a new president of the NRA.
Because
as we learned, for the first time, like, a week or two ago, everyone realized that Wayne LaPierre is not the president of the NRA. He's, like, the executive vice president or something like that.
Something
crazy. The president is about to be Jim Porter of Birmingham, who's been a board member for a long time. They're going to have a big party in Houston, and Sarah Palin and Rick Santorum and John Bolton are all speaking.
God, I hadn't heard the name John Bolton
in a long
time.
And yet here we are. This is the event where you would hear it, though.
That's true.
But in any case, he's a lawyer who basically defends firearm manufacturers from lawsuits. And he still refers to the Civil War as the War of Northern Aggression and is, in general, of the belief that we need to have access to military-style weapons so that we can be ready to fight the government if that time so comes.
Yeah.
A lot of people believe it's going to come.
Yes.
Because
we have a poll.
We have a poll.
That proves it.
That proves it.
There was a recent poll of whether people thought that we would...
Boy, God, you're really
it.
Eating your words here.
I can't... Will you read for me? Can you use English for me, please?
This is a poll that questions people on whether they think that a revolution might be necessary.
Yes.
At some point.
Yeah.
And or whether an armed revolt will be necessary.
Right. And 29% of people said yes, it would be. 44% of Republicans.
44. That's almost half of the Republican Party believes that we might
have
need
to rise
like,
up against
that
the
we
government.
Might need to fight like a military style like war against our own government, which, as you remember, is made up of people that represent us.
It's also made up of a president who is a black man.
That's true. And there's nothing scarier. There's nothing that says armed revolt more than a president who is a
like
black
needing
man.
To arm yourselves from black people.
Yeah, exactly. But also confusingly, 18% of Democrats think this.
Like, what? I know.
And 27% of independents.
I have a feeling that the Democrats are probably, they're sort of almost like, you know, afraid of like the government turning into sort of like a police state and like
well,
us
I was
not having
say,
civil,
the
civil
Democrats
liberties
that
or
something.
Think it's,
that
it's coming
are worried
from a
about a military
space,
coup.
Sort of, right, exactly.
They're not, or a martial law. They're not, they're not worried
or
that
like
the government
that
is
we're
going
to lose our civil rights or something like that. Like that's sort of, it's just, it's coming from a different space.
Yes, exactly. Although, but they're still thinking armed revolt.
That's,
the question was armed revolt.
That's true.
Like, I feel like I worry sometimes that we'll turn into a police state, and then I worry that we'll have to engage in nonviolent forms of protest in order to defeat that police state.
Right. Not to try and retake
over the... We'll have to go to a lot of rallies and marches and things. Yeah. We'll have to do some lobbying. Well, it'll be busy times, for sure, but I certainly don't want to have to handle a weapon in the process.
Exactly.
But, yeah, those numbers are too high.
Far.
Far too high.
Right. 18% of Democrats is 18% too many.
That's 19% too many. I know. That's like, yeah. We should actively be not worrying about that as a party. Meanwhile, Pat Toomey had some things to say about our massive failure in the background check.
He sort of gave up the game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people knew that the reason that this didn't get passed is because the Republicans don't want to pass anything that Obama wants to get passed.
Yeah.
But once you then have the Republican who wrote the bill say that, you know, out loud into a microphone, that's not
good
great.
News. Not good news.
Not good news at all.
I feel like he's sort of pissed because he kind of went out on a limb for this and...
Yeah. Well,
it was because he thought he could get his party on board and they could work themselves out of the hole that they got into.
Yeah. Well, and I think he also is smart enough to know that, you know, he got elected in 2010.
Right.
So he's up in 2016. He's from Pennsylvania. It's a purple state. It does not hurt him to throw the Republican crazies under the bus.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's... you know, I think he sort of kind of vaguely tried to walk it back later in the week. But, like, I also think that knew that he was going to be able to get away with saying something like that.
And yeah, I mean, well, it's only people in his sort of genre of senators that are getting away with even supporting a bill like this.
Yeah.
But,
well, and his approval, he's one of the, you know, we've heard a lot about, you know, some of the senators who voted against this and their, approval ratings going way down, which Kelly Ayotte, and she had a rough week. We'll sort of expound on that in just a second. But I was reading something today about people's approval ratings who went up, and his is one of them. I mean, he's a Republican who sort of like co-wrote this law. Mary Landrews went up because she's a Democrat, but she's a moderate.
Yeah, she's a moderate Democrat.
You know, so the people who did vote for that bill been seeing...
Well, I don't know why anyone would be surprised by that, because if 90% of Americans think that this should be law, then there's nowhere for your approval rating to go but down if you don't support it.
Yeah.
Because working from 90%, like, no politician has 90% of...
No. But, you know, for Kelly Ayotte, who, you know, people often talk about as, you know, one of the up-and-comers and a potential national candidate for them at some point. She's from New Hampshire. And if they hate her, that becomes problematic.
Correct.
For her. Not just for a national campaign, but for her re-election.
Yeah.
Coming up. But, I mean, like, literally since she voted no on this thing, her approval rating has gone down, like, 15%.
Yeah.
And just this week, we saw a video of someone whose parent, I think, was, like, one of the...
It was one of the Newtown parents,
like, confront her at a town hall in a very sort of, like...
And it hit the internet hard.
Hard. And, I mean, Kelly Ayotte probably did as good a job as she could, but, I mean, like, there was nothing for her to say... going to make her look like anything less than, like, the world's worst person.
Yeah.
I mean, she just... It was a hole that could not be dug out of.
No, exactly.
Basically.
And she also got confronted this week about not supporting women's rights legislation. Like, she is
she's been voting against all of the Equal Pay Acts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just been saying that we need to enforce the laws that we already have.
Right. Like, what laws? We don't have an Equal Pay Act, so that's hard to enforce.
I don't know.
It's a very specific problem that we're trying to face.
No.
If we don't have a law that deals with it, then we can't. We can enforce all the laws that we want. We can enforce not wearing shorts on Sunday. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, that's a law. That's one of those laws that they always have in books of funny local laws.
Yeah,
people not being allowed to wear shorts on Sunday.
Mm.
That'd be a shame here.
I know.
Because if the weather on Sunday is anything like it is right now, people are going to need to wear shorts or they'll die.
I wear shorts this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, see, and you didn't get struck down by God or anything? Brent would even know because he goes to church, so it's like, he's the kind of person who really has has the kind of direct line to God that...
No, I wore shorts and everything went off that
Everything
pitch.
Just sort of continued on like it always does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Other things in sort of like final gun news that we learned this week, there was a very sad shooting where some...
A five-year-old shot his 2-year-old sister with his own rifle.
Yeah.
A kid's rifle.
A kid's rifle. Cricket. My first rifle. There is a rifle that is being marketed as a child rifle.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Guess what children do with rifles?
They shoot things. They accidentally
shoot their siblings.
Yeah.
Or anyone. You can accidentally shoot anybody.
You can accidentally shoot an adult,
your parent,
a dog, yourself. Really, anything could go wrong. There's a whole bunch of pictures.
There's no end to
on
what
the internet
children, 5-year-olds can shoot.
Of people who have had their children pose with these cricket rifles and like a can of Bud. And, like there's a whole bunch of really distasteful photographs.
Yeah, you sent that link to me earlier this week, and it was horrifying.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
But, in any case, this would be a really sad story if it weren't so freaking predictable. Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but it's like...
It is sad.
Don't give your 5-year-old a gun.
Yeah.
And then be like, why did you shoot your 2-year-old sister? Because he doesn't know, because he's 5.
Right.
So he was just hanging around playing with the toy that you gave him. Then he shot his sister. Now you're down a child, and you have a child who's a gun nut. It's about as dangerous as it gets. In any case, Warren Buffett joined Twitter.
Yeah, and with an epic first tweet, too. Profound.
Warren is in the house. Warren Buffett, the rapper, joined Twitter.
Seriously.
Oh, did you hear that guy from Crisscross died, too? Speaking of rappers?
Oh, my God, yes.
Crisscross. Can you imagine? Because in my mind, Crisscross has not aged past the age of 13.
No, he's 34.
So
he was 34.
I read that story as if a 13-year-old had died and felt... really sad about it.
I know.
I have memories of Crisscross.
Yeah. I think they're saying it might be drugs.
They are saying it's definitely drugs. They're pretty sure it's drugs. Okay. It was pretty much definitely an OD.
Speaking of drugs, on a completely unrelated note, but we're already talking about Crisscross. Did you see that Lindsay Lohan checked herself into rehab for like 6 minutes today?
Yeah. And then the wrong one. She wasn't at the rehab that she told them she'd go to. She told them she'd go to rehab in New York because they wanted her to go somewhere where she couldn't smoke or something like that. And then she checked herself into a random rehab and then made a big show of, like, packing for rehab, too. Like, there were pictures on the internet.
Oh, there were pictures
packing.
Of, like, her, like,
she
20
wanted,
suitcases or whatever.
Yeah, she was looking for... She was going to have, like, 270 looks or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
Didn't last long because she's already out of rehab.
She needed one look.
One look. She didn't really even need that one look.
No.
She could have gone in there in a towel because she wasn't there long enough for anyone to take notice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's... gone. That was a quick recovery.
God,
one of the quickest.
Bless her heart.
She's really never. Her and Amanda Bynes are going to.
Amanda Bynes is
really unraveling. That's probably
stepping up her game because in a way that I'm really approve of on so many levels. Because I mean,
Brent had a real thing for Amanda Bynes.
No, that was Galen.
I mean, Galen had a real thing for Amanda Bynes.
I don't particularly care for her. I have no love affair with her at all. But I do love a good meltdown. And Lindsay's at this point is just
it's
sort
getting
of like,
stale.
It's getting super stale.
Yeah.
But the Amanda Bynes one is just like, I just saw today that she like tweeted a topless photo of herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's been walking around with like bags over her head.
She's not kidding around.
She's like,
she's hit the internet really hard this last few months.
At least because what I love about her meltdown is that she's like doing sort of like ridiculous and crazy things. Like, whereas Lindsay Lohan was like always sort of like just a general wreck, and she was like going out and partying, and she was like falling
Lindsay
over
Lohan
and she was doing things like that
was
she
almost
was,
like a
she
victim
was,
of her own
she was never
situation.
Really doing anything exciting like walking around with like bags over her head. I mean, she was just like being drunk and inappropriate. Like, at least Amanda Bynes is like giving us some real things to hold on to here. Like, I mean,
she's
going for it,
going for drama, whatever the cost.
She's
so
for life potentially maybe
like,
the cost.
Well,
which would be too bad.
That would be too bad. I feel like
we'll
she's having more of a Britney.
The man.
She's having more of a Britney Spears moment.
She is.
I think that
which
probably
great
someone's
well.
Gonna.
And I love Britney Spears.
Yeah,
but that was
one of the great meltdowns.
That was one of the great meltdowns.
American
yeah.
history.
We'll always remember that.
We'll always remember
shaved
that.
Her head and chasing people with umbrellas. I mean, those are great stories. Those are stories to tell
the
your kids.
The head shaving umbrella chasing moments are really going to be burned into the American consciousness
for
years to come.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Amanda Bynes has an image like that we can really all hold on to. Lindsay Lohan has not.
No, she doesn't. She's maybe more screwed up, but she hasn't had that quintessential sort of like.
She wasn't having an identity crisis. She was having like a sad person crisis. She was having the kind of crisis that a person who's from Long Island, whose parents are sort of fame whores, who has been working her whole life and is a little bit tacky as a person, has. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel a little bad about the Lindsay Lohan thing because she's just obviously such a wreck. And she can't do anything about it. She can't fix it. She doesn't know what's going on.
No.
She's sort of, like, lost. Amanda Bynes, I feel like, is doing a more purposeful meltdown.
I totally agree.
It's, like, a much smarter meltdown.
I know.
But it's more genius in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I love her for it.
Yeah. It's going really well. Keep it up.
A more purposeful meltdown.
I felt that way about the Britney Spears one, too. I felt like Britney Spears' meltdown had a lot of symbolic value that was really sort of, like, interesting to ponder in your spare moments. She, like, cut off these, like, symbols of femininity that had been sort of, like, her defining feature.
Oh, wow.
Because being, like, having, like, long blonde hair was, like, the thing that kind of defined her as a teen idol.
Yeah,
the blonde ladies, like, her and all of the other ones, like, what's her face? They were all defined by their long blonde hair. And to have a meltdown where you so perfectly go and, like, have someone randomly cut all your hair off and then leave looking like a crazy turtle chasing someone with an umbrella.
It was great.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
I've often thought that maybe she was smarter than we were letting her be, but I've since walked that back since learning that she's not.
Right. Since watching The X Factor.
Since watching The X Factor, I've finally realized that.
Yeah.
But she's a person who means well. I don't think Lindsay Lohan means well.
No, I don't think she does either.
I can't tell what Amanda Bynes means, but I'm fascinated by it, whatever it is.
We have one more story.
We have one more story.
At this point.
The reason that we were able to go on so long about teen meltdowns is because our final story is about the weather.
I know.
Which, since you've probably called your parents this week, you've probably already heard enough about. Not you particularly,
exactly.
But Americans in general are getting a lot of weather reports from their parents, is what I've gathered recently.
Yeah, especially ones in the Midwest. Because they have, like, feet of snow in it.
They're having, like,
May.
Yeah, a crazy snowstorm.
It's they have the most snow that they've had this time of year since they started keeping track of it, like, in the 1800s.
Yeah.
It's wild.
This is the kind of thing that used to happen a lot in Poughkeepsie when I was in college, where we would think that it was spring, things would be in bloom, happiness would return to our lives, sort of. We were at Vassar, so it wasn't that happy, but it was a little happy. And then some major snowstorm would come, and we would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is sneaky, this snowstorm.
Well, and you know what's really funny about the place that I have been seeing the most news about this is on my daily check-ins on the Drudge Report, because he loves to use a good snowstorm as proof of global warming existing.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily say that specifically, but you can tell
that's
where it's going, because a lot of times he'll sort of like couple it with another story that's sort of like about how global warming, like he'll be like 18 feet of snow in the Midwest. Scientists say global warming is real. Like it will be like the next story.
Yeah.
And then like some dumbass schmo will look at it and be like,
these
you know,
people
like,
are, yeah.
Which obviously just is, they don't get because they're stupid.
Right.
They
can't help it.
They don't know how global
stupid
warming
people
works
are stupid
at all. But anyway, it's crazy what's going on in the Midwest right now.
And it's like even like over to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Like it's huge. Speaking of snow, there were a lot of snow capped mountains in Seattle while I was there.
Lovely.
I took some lovely pictures of the mountains.
Yeah.
But I was surprised to see so much snow there because of it being the end of April.
That's true. But it's far north.
Yeah, but it's not like Toronto. Like it's in like this temperate climate that like it doesn't even get that cold in Vancouver, and that is Canada.
That is Canada. You're right.
That's where Canadians live, is in Canada.
Uh-huh.
But Seattle is like it doesn't get that cold there.
I've never been.
Oh, it doesn't get that cold there. That's what I'm telling you right now. It rains a lot. That's why Twilight had to take place in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of like it's mild because of the water and whatever and
all right.
Whatnot. That's the news this week and
there
a half.
It is. If we missed any, it's because it was a 2-week span.
Right, and we weren't
news.
Paying any attention.
No.
But we will be back not this Sunday, because that would be only
crazy.
3 days, but the Sunday after.
Yes.
We decided to do two podcasts over 3 weeks instead of doing one podcast and then another one like 3 days later.
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have loved it, but.
You would have soaked up every moment of it. But in any case, we will be on social media throughout the week and and a half.
Yeah, stay tuned.
So stay tuned for that, and maybe one day we'll write in our blog again.
Oh my God, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, we will.
We've got to do it.
All right.
In any case, have a good weekend.
Yes.
Which we never get to.
Yeah, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.